The Christian faith is not simply a fire escape from hell. It's not simply preparation for death. It's preparation for living.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The life which honors God. And it's based on these verses here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 down through verse 9 at least, and perhaps even down through verse 11. It's my conviction that Peter's thesis in these verses is that every one of us should be deeply committed to living the kind of life which honors God, and that we should learn to draw upon His resources in doing that. I believe that's Peter's thesis in this passage. Every one of us should be deeply committed to living the kind of life which honors God. We've seen already in our study the possibility of such a life becoming a reality in our lives. How is it possible that people like yourself and myself, the natural raw material that we are, how is it possible that we can learn to live a life which honors God, that we can actually integrate into our lives the qualities which are pleasing to God? I believe the living of that kind of life is contingent upon the two great things that Peter mentions in verses 3 and 4. Number one, it's contingent upon the great power of Christ. The Bible says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's contingent, number one, upon the great power of Jesus Christ. And then it's contingent, number two, upon the great promises of Jesus Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Verse 4. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we've already looked at the possibility of living such a life. We have tremendous power made available to us in Jesus Christ. And we have great promises which can be mixed into our everyday living as we blend them into our lives by faith. And as we capitalize upon the power of Jesus Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ, we have the wherewithal, we have the capacity to live the kind of life which honors God. In other words, I think Peter is saying that the possibility of such a life is inseparably bound up with Jesus Christ. If we do not have Christ, His power and His promises practically, actively integrated into our life, if we do not have Christ, His power and His promises, we have nothing. If we do have Him, we have absolute sufficiency to honor God and live a life that is pleasing to Him and that is deeply satisfying and gratifying to our own nature. If we have Him, we have everything, and we have absolute sufficiency to live the kind of life that He wishes for us to live. We want to look at the properties of such a life. And I believe those properties are unfolded for us in verses 5, 6, and 7. And in those verses, there's given to us an amazing development of the moral and spiritual progress that God expects from each one of us. And that expectation is possible, as I've already said, because of the Savior's presence, His power, and His promises. Now, what do you see in verses 5 to 7? We're going to look. We look at the possibility of such a life. In verses 5 to 7, we look at the properties of such a life. What are the properties? What are the marks of the life that is pleasing to God, that honors God, and that brings glory to God? As I look at verses 5, 6, and 7, I see really two things. The first thing I see is the demand. Something is required of us. And beside this, giving all diligence, add. Now that's a demand. That's an imperative. There's something required of us as Christians. And then the second thing I see is the actual development. First the demand, and then the development. We have outlined for us from the pen of the Apostle Peter the very precise development of the properties or marks of the life which is honoring and pleasing to God in verses 5, 6, and 7. Now, do you notice, first of all, the demand? He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add. Actually, as I see that phrase, I want to reduce it even a little further. Giving all diligence, add. In those four words, I think there are two important concepts. Number one, there's the concept of great effort. Here's the demand, the requirement that's imposed upon us. There's the concept of great effort, giving all diligence. And then there's secondly the concept of great cost, add. And it's amazing how powerful the Greek word behind that little three-letter English word is, add. Epikoragein is the word. It's a very powerful word, and it implies the concept of great cost. You'd never get it in the English translation, but in that Greek word, there's just a wealth of meaning. First, there's great effort, giving all diligence. Peter's word is spadazzo, and it's a word which means to bend every effort. Bend every effort to integrate into your Christian experience the ingredients which are pleasing to God, which will honor God, and which will enable you to glorify God. That's a word, by the way, spudazzo, giving all diligence, or bend every effort, is a word that carried with it three ideas, if you want them. It's a word that carried with it three ideas. One, maturity. Two, industry. Three, urgency. Those ideas are always attached to that word, giving all diligence, or the Greek word spadazzo. One, it's the word for maturity. It's the word which represents mature activity, something that is well thought through, as opposed to childlike activity or zeal. We're told by the lexical experts that spudazzo is the opposite of the word paidzo. You say, well, that's an interesting thought. What does it mean? Paidzo is the word from which we get our English word pediatrics. It has to do with childlike behavior and childlike activity and childlike zeal. Spadazzo is the opposite of that. In other words, it speaks not of childish zeal and activity, but of adult zeal and activity. It reflects maturity, something that is well thought through. Sit down, think through the principles of Scripture, and then expend whatever energy is necessary to bring it to pass. In fact, that's the second point. We go from maturity to industry. And inherent in that word spadazzo is the idea of significant expenditures of energy in order to achieve the goal. We really work at this Christian experience. There's something for God to do, and there's something for us to do. Work out your own salvation, for it's God's who work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So there's maturity, and then there's industry, and then there's a sense of urgency attached to that word. It implies the full realization of the great importance of the task which is at hand. And there's no greater task than becoming all that God intended for us to become, so that we can honor Him and please Him and glorify Him and be a channel through which He can bring blessing into the lives of other people. So giving all diligence calls for an all-out effort, the kind of strenuous involvement, for example, that an Olympic athlete gives to the development and refining of his athletic skills. That's a word that could be used in that connection. The kind of strenuous involvement that an Olympic athlete gives to the development and the refining of his athletic skills. But this concept carries with it not only the idea of great effort, this demand, this requirement which is imposed upon us, but also of great cost. Giving all diligence, add, he says. And I don't want to take a lot of time in this particular word, but this is a powerful word, add. Epikoragein is the Greek root. And it's a word that comes from the noun koregos, which was a term that described wealthy individuals who financed elaborate religious plays in the ancient Greek world at their own expense and out of their own pocket. That's how that word was used in the ancient world. It was a costly business to finance those plays. Yet these public-spirited benefactors vied with each other in the generosity of their equipment and their training of the choruses involved in these plays. So this word had a very special history that Peter was aware of in the ancient Greek world, and that's why he used it. This word never means to equip in any chintzy or miserly way. It always means lavishly and generously to pour out everything that is necessary for a noble performance. That's exactly what God wants us to do in terms of our Christian performance. He wants us to lavishly, that's what that word add means. That word add means to lavishly and generously pour out everything that is necessary for a noble performance. God really wants us to invest ourselves in this business of Christian living. He wants us to take it seriously. The Christian faith is not simply a fire escape from hell. It's not simply preparation for death. It's preparation for living. He wants us to live in a way that's glorifying to Him and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter urges God's people to equip their lives with every virtue. And he says that equipment must not be simply a necessary minimum. He wants us to go beyond the necessary minimum, not just so that we can squeak by. He doesn't want us to have just a thin veneer of Christianity, enough to make us respectable, but not enough to make us uncomfortable. He wants us to invest ourselves lavishly and generously in this Christian experience. The very word, epikoregein, behind that English word add, is an incitement to be content with nothing less than the loveliest and most splendid life on earth. It's a motivation for Christians to be prepared to pay whatever the cost in order to achieve God's goals in their lives. So Peter says we're to give all diligence to add to our Christian experience. In other words, the Christian life must not be, as someone else has put it, the Christian life must not be an initial spasm, a moment of excitement and enthusiasm and emotion. The Christian life must not be an initial spasm followed by chronic inertia, passivity, and laziness. The Christian is to energetically and sacrificially, at great personal cost to himself, cooperate with God in the production of a Christian life which is a credit to the Heavenly Father. That is the demand that is placed upon every one of us. I wonder if that's the kind of investment you and I are making in our Christian lives. I wonder, really, is that the kind of investment you and I are making in our Christian lives? How seriously do we take our relationship to the Lord? He says, giving all diligence, that's great effort, add to your Christian experience. That's great cost. Whatever it costs, whatever investment is necessary, whatever cost is essential to become what God intended for you to become, be willing to make that cost. Give the whole of your life to be a servant of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
If I want to realize the excellence that God intended for me to realize, then I must look right up into the face of Jesus Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.